This is KTWH, Leo Baybue, filling in for Tom Kohler this week. Our weekly review of the news in the Lake County Press with editor and writer Kitty Mayo. Kitty, it's a blustery fall day and another edition of Lake County Press about to hit the streets.
Indeed. And we got to expect the blusteriness. We've had it pretty nice.
Yeah, I'm just trying to hold on to some beautifully colored leaves that just got that beautiful color. I guess you can't control what will be, Kitty, but I'd like to see them for a few days.
Me too.
Here we go into a look at what is appearing in the Lake County Press this week. First story I have in front of me is very evocative. I'm going to ask you to elaborate. Timber Ghost Tours.
Indeed. Timber Ghost Tours is an experience that you can have if you head up to Beaver Bay. It is a new business that has launched a fleet of ATVs that they can take out onto trails and show you the beautiful leaves right now. Maybe if you get in amongst the trees, it's a little less windy today. This is a brainchild of Silver Bay resident Jason Barstow. And he recently opened a bar in Beaver Bay called Tracks and Racks. And that has evolved into a place where you can grab some food, too. I know this because I stopped there recently. It's really nice to have another location on the shore that you can stop in for a bite.
Right.
And the food was good, too. And Jason got that going during the pandemic, and I got to talk to him about that experience. And he said he had a lot of naysayers and people who were opposed to the idea of a new business opening up and gathering people together, but he did it anyway. He told me it's been quite successful and that he wanted to do something more that added to the community that he felt like more people could get behind. When I talked to Jason, he talked about his drive to grow community and community connections and positive things and strengthen the community. So that was his idea with this Timber Ghost Tours. Jason said he came up with that name many years ago. Jason moved to Silver Bay 12 years ago with his wife, who's from there, and then just 4 years ago quit his other jobs doing construction and over-the-road trucking and decided he wanted to be home, close to home. So this is just another one of his offshoots, and it sounds like a lot of fun. He had a late start. He was ready to go in the beginning of the summer, and there was a lot of storm damage on the trails in that area, so they couldn't be open. And that set him back, but he got going in August, and now he's doing this cool thing where you can show up and not only rent a machine, but also have a tour guide and go out on these trails where they know where the best overlooks and stuff are. That's pretty cool. And then also in November, he's getting his delivery of snowmobiles. So
during
the snow season.
You jumped my next question, which is depending upon what kind of October and November we have, the transition to snow crossing the vehicles is going to be earlier or later. Some years we could probably go into December still on ATVs. And the other thing that occurred to me when I saw the headline, Kitty, was that he's unveiling this just as we're heading into what I call a Halloween season. So that's why Timber Ghosts spoke to me. We weren't talking about people being frightened while they drive through the woods.
not on this one.
Okay.
No, but I love the connection too. It's one of my favorite seasons.
Yeah, and as we celebrate our on-air fall fun drive, we reflect a lot on what we're doing in community radio, and it sounds like he's got a community building mission of his own, so I salute him.
He does.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Kitty, we also have now another medium story. City of Two Harbors bringing a live stream online.
Yeah,
this must be in response to all of the efforts to improve communications between citizens and their political leaders.
Exactly. And I'm dancing in my chair. I've been waiting for this. I'm so excited for people to know about it. Basically, anybody, anywhere, as long as they have an internet connection, can tap into an online stream, can be a live stream, but you can also see older videos of meetings for Two Harbors City Hall. Something's happening at City Hall. It's going to be live streamed. Jose Leon, the access coordinator for the city, talked to me about this and explained it. And it took a little bit for me to understand, what am I looking at? Well, essentially, right now, anyone can watch public access television on Channel 13 if they have Mediacom as their cable provider. Everyone else, no go. And that comprises a lot of citizens in Two Harbors. So this new system, as Jose explained to me, was possible through the purchase of a server. And, you know, if you want to figure out what that means, go ahead.
It's a fancy computer.
Yeah, a fancy computer that allows cable channel 13 to be cast or broadcast through a specific internet stream. So it's really watching channel 13 on the internet, and anybody can do it, and it's free. There's one link. There were so many problems that people were having during the pandemic, and as the pandemic has sort of evolved into whatever it is now, connecting to municipal government meetings. And Zoom has been, you know, really great, but has a lot of problems. Some of us forget to turn our mics off when the meeting starts. Yes, that's happened to me. And then you have disruption of people chatting in the background. Sometimes people are joining as the meeting's progressing, and you keep getting this ding, ding happening. Now, this is a one-way stream, so people will not be able to interact with the city council meetings while they're watching it, but it'll be only one link all the time. Can you tell I'm excited? There'll only just be one link for every meeting. Jose is going to have that up on the website. He's going to have other options, like being able to stream through Roku or other streaming devices and systems, and he's going to make some tutorials to teach people how to do that so they can get it up on their TV if they want. I do believe, and in a former conversation I had with Patty Nordine, the city clerk, I do believe they're going to continue the use of Zoom for a two-way interaction for people who follow the procedure for getting on the agenda and are to speak. Then they'll set up a Zoom link for that person so that they can talk to the board. So hopefully continuing the really great access for people to be part of local government. I'm stoked.
Yeah, so they are not abandoning the advantages of the two-way option that Zoom provides. People can still check in if they get on the agenda to make their comments or questions by Zoom, and people everywhere, every darn where in this world can check in. And it sounds like there's more than one modality, a YouTube and a Roku option. I guess the devil's in the details. And of course, will we get them all in this story, or will more information be coming out on how people are going to be able to access from home or wherever they are?
You'll get most of it in the story, but the link I shared in there as well, which I understand when I spoke to Jose earlier this week, was not yet on the city's website, but it will be very, very soon. So you'll find the link in the newspaper. The other details of where and how to will be forthcoming. I understand the city's working on doing an explainer on that. It won't be on YouTube anymore. Not posted by Jose.
We're moving to another streaming basis.
It's its own channel. Yeah, it's really kind of cool. And you will be able to go back in time and watch recordings. Within about 24 hours, Jose said those past meeting will be available for you to find on there and watch.
Well, that is a tremendous jump into the 21st century down in our neck of the woods. And a little bit up the shore in Silver Bay, their city council has a significant story featured this week on the Boathouse Bay project. I'm not even sure I know where Boathouse Bay is.
So this is one that I've been writing about for quite some time, for over a year, really. And the Boathouse Bay project is a development by John Anderson, private citizen, who is working, of course, with the city. It's down by the campgrounds and close to the hotel and the mini golf kind of area. So sort of that nice stretch of land down below the city, if you can imagine, past Adventure Park and between the beach and the Adventure Park sort of area.
Okay.
And John's owned that for some time and has been working on development plans for it and has finally been able to really begin to move forward. And what it requires, so he is going to be building a number of different types of housing. These are all for rental. We would imagine them as vacation rental sort of housing. So temporary housing, less than 30 days. And there's a number of different sort of conglomerations of how he's doing that. It'll be fairly large. And it does require that the city extend water and sewer services and electric, all those utilities that come with the city that we so much rely on living in a city. And so that's been the business of the city. How can we do that in a way that, you know, we can afford? And they've relied very heavily on applying for grants. Silver Bay is just all over grant applications, are really good at it. And it'll cost very little money from the city directly once all those grants are in place. But they did change. The big news is really that they shot down some bids that came in to do that work. In this last round, they had done a scope of work and then sent that out for bids, and it came back much higher than anticipated. And so they, at this most recent meeting, denied those bids and are reworking the bid, taking some of the wish list out and sort of reconfiguring that and going to send it out for bids again. And they do not expect that to delay the project.
So they had to do a little prioritizing based upon the first price tag that they saw.
Exactly. You got it.
Okay.
That's exactly
so,
right.
Kitty, yeah,
and I'll just mention, I was just going to mention before we move off of that story that there's two other stories that are sort of evolving that I'm following. And one is about a housing development on Penn Avenue. And this project has been under discussion for some time. And the stage that the city is at right now, this would be considered affordable housing, something multiple family dwellings, an apartment sort of a situation probably. And the land that they're looking at is currently owned by the county's HRA, the Housing Redevelopment Authority. And they're trying to work out a deal between the county and the city to give it to the city so that they can just tackle it. Then they can be the lead on connecting with developers and putting out proposals and that kind of stuff. So that's still being worked on. And then one other story is that they've had a water treatment facility project going for the last 2 years, a massive one, an almost $4 million project. Again, fully funded through grants. They really kill it. And it's almost done. So that was kind of exciting to hear.
Great progress report then from Silver Bay. And then we have the last story that I'm aware of is focusing on what's on my ballot. We're about a month out from our midterm elections. And what have you got for us, Kitty? It sounds a lot like the what's on my ballot sounds a lot like a page you can find at the Minnesota Secretary of State's website.
You got it. You cracked the code. That's exactly what it is. I really like reminding people where they can find information for their voting, for specific, you know, me, my one person, individual. I just love this tool that we have in Minnesota. You can go to the Minnesota Secretary of State homepage, sos.state.mn.us, and you can find a page called What's on My Ballot. And if some people don't know about this, I just wanted to let them know. And I put a little bit of information about what's on that page and what you can find there. You can find a sample ballot of specific to your address of what's going to be on it. And we got a lot of stuff going on. Also, people might not be aware. There's a lot of races out there. There's U.S. Representative, Governor and Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, State Auditor, Attorney General, State Senator, State Rep, judicial seats, and more. More local stuff, too. So I just wanted people to know about that.
Indeed. And while we were talking, I looked up my sample ballot online. It is actually that simple. Hate to be distracted while I'm driving this interview, Kitty, but that is how simple it is. I'm not a multitasker, and I've got my sample ballot up. So,
sweet.
Yeah.
Well, good demo. I like
this.
This
is tremendous. Well, thanks. I think a lot of people will benefit by being reminded that they've got to pay attention and start making up their mind about some really important choices that need to be made. And that date is this year, is it November 8th?
Oh, now you got me.
There's
the
a quiz.
Tuesday in November.
That's after the first Monday of November, however. So you can rest assured it will never be on the 1st of November. How's that for trivia?
Correct.
Okay.
November 8th is correct.
All right. Well, thank you, Kitty, for joining us on this blustery day. And we always appreciate your time and dedication to getting these stories in the Lake County Press every week. Is there anything else I didn't ask you that you wanted to be asked?
Well, there's just one more thing, and that's that we're putting a call out for people that have spooky stories for the holidays. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll get it in the paper.
Okay, that'll be the edition of the paper that you're going to be afraid to pick up, but then you probably won't be able to put down.
Exactly, that's it.
All right. Well, till next week, thank you, Kitty. Take care.
Thanks, Leo. Bye-bye.
Bye now. That was Kitty Mayo, writer and editor at the Lake County Press.